Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening to all of our listeners on today. Yes, you're now tuned in to Faith in Your Fears Radio Talk Show, hosted by yours truly, Evangelist Dr. Norma Chapman. As always, let us bow our heads for our opening prayer. Father God, we thank you for another great opportunity that you have given us, Father God, to go forward in radio land, Father God. Oh, Father God, if anyone is out there that can need an answer to a situation, Father God, in any environment they may be in, Father God, they don't have an answer, we pray that something will be said on the show today that will encourage them, Father God, and that they may have an answer to all of their problems and situations that they are occurring, Father God. We thank you. And we thank you for our special guest on today. As this program goes forward, we pray that whatever that we say or be said or done will be pleasing and that it's acceptable in your sight and that you may get the glory out of all that we do and say. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, listeners, we do have another great, great, awesome show prepared for you on today. Our topic today will be importance of early voting / community issues. Our special guest on today is none other than Mr. Sean Wilson. Mr. Wilson is running for governor here in our great state of Louisiana. And we're going to bring him in. He's going to give you a bio about himself. And after then, he would give you his presentation on his topic for today. But remember, listeners, you too can join in on this great topic just by pressing that number one on your phone. If you have any comments, questions, I just want to share your thoughts and experience on today's topic. All right, good afternoon, Mr. Wilson.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having me, and hello to all of your listeners.
We are blessed to have you on Facing Your Fears on today, and we want you to give us a little short bio about yourself or just have your way in the studio. I'm going to yield and give the studio to you right now, Mr. Wilson, and just let the listeners know what your topic is about and what you want to discuss and what you want our voters to know about you in this upcoming election, okay? I yield to you now.
All right. Well, thank you. Just for your listeners' edification, I am Sean Wilson, candidate number 16 on the ballot. And those ballots have already gone live. People have received their ballots in the mail if they had requested a mail-in ballot. And early voting starts tomorrow. So there's no time to register for this primary election. That window has closed. But you can go and vote tomorrow morning if you are an early voter. And we need every one of our listeners today to be an early voter. Why is that important? It's important because on Election Day, which is October 14th, that is homecoming for Southern and Grambling State University. It's also a major game for LSU, and the Saints are going to be traveling to Houston that weekend, and so folks may be inclined to travel with them via bus or car to go to Houston and enjoy that game. Most importantly, let me tell you a little bit about who I am and where I'm from and why I'm running. I'm a native of New Orleans, born and raised in Algiers, the son of Sandra Wilson and Anthony Wilson, and a proud product of the public school system. Algiers has always been home for me until I moved to Lafayette to go to school in 1987. Before leaving New Orleans, I had gone to McDonald No. 32. Used to walk to school every day. Block and a half away, and then moved on to Edna Carr Junior High School, and we would catch the bus to Algiers Local right there on Newton Street, and we would travel all the way up to Edna Carr, and then moved on to O'Para Walker and graduated from O'Para Walker in the class of 1987. During my time there, I served as a student council president and a student leader, and graduated with honors and was very pleased to have had that experience and still have lifelong friends today, people that I went to Miss Smith Nursery School with and folks who we spend time together whenever we can still. I left New Orleans in 1987 after having volunteered at F. Edward Hebert Hospital for three summers in a row and went to nursing school at USL. And over the course of that time, life happened, and I changed my major to urban and regional planning, which was consistent with things that I had done as a student, having been a student leader, a residence hall director, and eventually student council vice president, student government vice president, and then student government president, and worked hard to represent students and made some real leadership changes. Once I graduated, I worked at the city planning department in Lafayette, eventually got married, and worked at the university. During that time, while I worked at USL, now University of Louisiana Lafayette, I served as a volunteer with Big Brothers Big Sisters, United Way, and of course my fraternity Alpha Phi Alpha. Life happened that I started working for Kathleen Babineau Blanco when she was lieutenant governor, and I ran what was called the Louisiana Serve Commission. It had an AmeriCorps service program that we grew from 6 programs in Louisiana to 21 all across the state. And so I'm really excited about what that meant. It was a way for us to teach children how to read, work in environmental places, and build homes for seniors. Really, really good work. Kathleen ran for governor and won, and I moved into her office as deputy legislative director. And then shortly before Katrina happened in 2005, I moved into the Department of Transportation and Development, serving as confidential assistant to the secretary and then chief of staff for 3 secretaries. And John Bell Edwards, our current governor, was elected in 2015, and he appointed me Secretary of Transportation. And prior to that, I had completed a master's degree at Southern University as well as a PhD in public policy. And I served as the only person of color, the only African-American secretary in the entire United States in 2016, working across party lines, working across state lines, as well as cultural differences. My tenure as secretary was marked with tremendous success, having raised billions of dollars and spent $5.5 billion building projects all across Louisiana. I also had the opportunity to serve as president of the Louisiana Serve Commission. The president of the American Association of State Highway Transportation Officials. That is the national organization that represents all departments of transportation all across the country. First African-American to do that in 107 years of that organization. I retired in March of this year after a 25-year career in public service to run for governor. And it's been a whirlwind ride since then. And March 6th, I announced my candidacy. And since that time, we have raised right at $2 million and traveled almost 45,000 miles all across Louisiana, talking to citizens in urban and rural parishes, people of different races, different ethnic backgrounds, different social incomes, as well as zip codes, and we have made a difference in this race. The reasons I'm running to be governor are very simple. We have had too much divisiveness and separation across our state, and we need a governor that's going to bring people, and I am the kind of guy who can do that, having worked in Republican and Democratic administrations, as well as having delivered real results for the people of Louisiana. I understand, having talked to citizens, the importance of making sure that we're safe, that we're smart, that we are healthier and wealthier. Those are the 4 things that are the most critical kitchen table issues that we're facing in the great state of Louisiana, and we need a governor who's going to do that. In the world of safety, my opponent, Jeff Landry, has worked very, very hard to divide us as a state. He has worked hard to target urban areas. He has worked hard to make sure that we were locking people up longer. And if that were the case, we've had 25,000 people in this state in prisons for decades, and we still have a problem with safety. And let me remind you that public safety was job one for him as Attorney General, and I think he's failed at that. I understand the importance of educating people, providing resources for police officers before a crime occurs and not just after a crime occurs. If we just lock people up and wait till a crime occurs, we're not going to be safer at all. I also know the importance of investing in early childhood education. I'm married to a teacher. We've been married for 28 years. She's now an assistant principal. Early childhood education is absolutely fundamental. And if we can make investments to assist those 159,000 children across Louisiana that need a head start, that need pre-K, that will allow them to be better prepared to go into the public school system and do the things that they absolutely need to do. We need kids to learn how to read, write, and recognize their colors and know their names. That's how you learn to read and think and be much more productive. Those are things that I am committed to working on as governor and fully funding early childhood education. I do know that we have over $1 billion in our economy gets lost because we don't have enough early childhood education opportunities, meaning families are losing jobs or changing jobs or not taking promotions because they have to stay home and take care of a kid because of the rising cost of child care or daycare, and it's much more important to make that meaningful. And then when it comes to health care, I'm the only candidate that has made the commitment from day one. While every other candidate is now saying it, I'm the only one that said it from day one, and I'm the only one that haven't worked against it. Clearly, we need to not forget that Jeff Landry sued the state and this governor 6 times to rip health care from the 500,000 people who got it when Governor Edwards was elected. That is a real issue. For us to think that he is now going to be governor and do something that he worked against his entire career as attorney general, let's not be fooled to think that he is going to do something different. And then in terms of the health outcomes of our state, we need to be thoughtful. When it comes to maternal mortality and women dying, women of color die at a 400% rate higher than their peers. Infant mortality for women of color and their children, the babies that they're going to give birth to, is 200% greater than their peers. Those are health outcomes that we absolutely have to address. Diabetes, cancer, obesity, all of these are issues that will take a generational effort to stem the tide and turn the tide in terms of healthier lifestyles. And then last but not least, I'm running to be governor to make sure we have a serious conversation about wages. Governor Edwards has attempted to increase minimum wage every year he's been governor, and it's been rejected. And at the end of the day, 7.25 is not acceptable for anyone to live in. And in fact, the economy we're in today will allow folks to have to work to have higher wages because 7.25 is unacceptable. The market is driving places and prices higher. We need to be thoughtful of those places where the market may not be doing that. And how do we ensure that people can pay insurance premiums that are rising constantly unfairly against our citizens? Those are the reasons why I think I am the most qualified, and I know no one is going to do a better job at addressing those issues than I am because it's what I've done. I've built bridges. I've built bridges not literally but also figuratively, and those bridges are here to stay, and that's how we were going to cross those divides when I'm governor, to make us smarter, safer, healthier, and wealthier. Those are the four issues that we have to concentrate on, and if we're not doing that, we're wasting time. Time out, we should not be focusing on the divisions and the politics of culture wars and things that separate us. It's not the governor's place to argue over library books. It's not the governor's place to tell people how to live or where to live, nor is it the governor's place to track who's leaving the state of Louisiana to seek health care, women and children. These are things that we have to be serious about. When people show you who they are, you've got to believe them. When they tell you what they want to do, take them at their word. And these candidates in this race, particularly Jeff Landry, who is the leading Republican in this race, I don't sense that he has good ideas, good interests for all of the people of the state. And we need a governor who's going to work for each and every one of us. So at this moment, I'd like to see if they have any questions from you and your listeners. In addition to why I'm running, you've heard about where I'm from and what it is I want to do, and the fact that elections are starting tomorrow. You can actually show up to vote at the clerk's office or the registrar of voters office in your community if you're in Louisiana in the listening audience, and you can vote for number 16 on the ballot. If you need 16 good years of leadership, seek out number 16 on the ballot. That's Sean Wilson, and I will give you 8 years to add to the 8 good years that we've had under John Bell Edwards. So, Ms. Norma, if you have any listeners who have questions, this would be a good time for them to press number 1 on their phone and insert a question.
All right, listeners, there you have it. Listeners, you do have some more time to just press that number 1 on your phone if you have any questions, comments. I just want to share your thoughts about today's topic. Again, we are discussing the importance of early voting and the community issues. And you heard our upcoming candidate just running for governor. You heard him explain what his visions are. and what his intentions are. And he also explained to us listeners what he have done, the accomplishments he's already made here in the state of Louisiana. But I do have a question for you, Mr. Wilson. And listeners, you can press that number one at any time, and I'll bring you live into the studio to talk with Mr. Wilson or to ask any questions that he will gladly to address when you press that number one. In reference to the homeowner's insurance, what are your thoughts and your vision on that, the homeowner's insurance?
Well, great question, because as I've traveled these 45,000 miles, residents all over the state are complaining and expressing frustration with insurance. People should not have to choose between saving for a daughter's wedding and paying increasing premiums. This is a multi-pronged issue. One, when it comes to flood insurance, this is a federal issue. We have to do a much better job of working with our congressional delegation to hold them accountable to make sure we have a fair and balanced system. What we have today is unacceptable to see the kinds of increases that we're seeing. Second, in terms of auto insurance, we've got laws on the books that actually punish people based on the condition of their financial credit. And if you are someone who has a not-so-great credit with a good driving record, you might be paying more than someone who has good credit with a DWI. And that should not be the case. We need common sense laws to address these real practical issues. And then with the big one, homeowners insurance. Louisiana is a high-risk state, and our issues with insurance is multifaceted. One, we have inflation in what's called the reinsurance market. So when State Farm insurance and Quality and all of these people get insurance, they actually go to a larger market to insure the collective of policies that they have. And in that level, there has been a tremendous amount of inflation that has caused every one of those ratepayers to have an increase. That happening on top of what we have in Louisiana, a high-risk market, is people leaving the market in terms of insurance. And so if you have a few people writing policies, it's going to cost more for all policyholders because we don't have a good competitive environment. As governor, I'm committed to working to make sure that we hold big insurance accountable to make sure that if they write any policy that they cover everybody that they can write and they can't pick and choose who they want to cover based on their experiences with disasters or their geographic location. Additionally, we need to pass laws that look at adjuster accountability. So once you have a policy in place, that when a disaster happens, that we have accountability with our adjusters to make sure that they're being fair and transparent and that they're communicating to the owner the same thing they're communicating to the insurer, to make sure that you're clear on the timelines for them to respond to you and to give you some decisions so that you can make decisions for you and your family. The last thing I'll tell you is the $45 million that we have bailed out big insurance companies with is unacceptable. It was necessary from an immediacy standpoint, given the fallout that we've had in last hurricane season, but it's not sustainable. And if we continue to bail out insurance companies, they're going to keep coming back with their hands out asking for more and more and more. And I just don't think it's fair to our state, and it certainly isn't fair to the good working people of Louisiana that are paying these premiums on the monthly basis that have been increasing. I am not in favor, like many of the folks in this race, of doing a favor for the big insurance companies by deregulating them and allowing them to increase their premiums multiple times a year. If you do a $500 increase or a $100 increase five times a year, that's the same thing, and neither does that work for our citizens. And so I'm consistent. I am committed to working and fighting for the people of Louisiana and standing with them, not when it's politically convenient, but all the time to put their needs and interests first. And so from an insurance standpoint, we will get it under control. I will clearly have a special session and work with Insurance Commissioner Tim Teeple to address these issues.
Awesome, awesome. All right, another question I have for you. I know you have a long, long, long agenda. We're glad that you had took the time out to come on facing your fears, and I know you're a very, very busy man. You have the whole state of Louisiana to focus on. What about our children and education as far as what are your visions with them going forward, getting more grants and more money to further their education? That a lot of families cannot afford uniforms and other issues that they have in our lower class communities. You know, there's a lot of issues with families that's struggling with trying to get uniforms and trying to get the things that the school are requiring. And what are your visions on that?
Well, listen, education is fundamental. Education is what's needed to break the cycle of poverty. Education is what's needed to be able to afford a home and to be able to protect families from disasters and difficulty. So clearly, making educational investments is a priority for me as governor. I'll also tell you, fully funding early childhood education and public education is essential. Young people today are facing a trifecta of challenges: the rising cost of higher education, the burden of student debt, and the scarcity of good-paying jobs, meaning no one wants to go into debt to go to school and not be able to find a job when they get out to be able to pay that debt back. Whether it's a four-year college or a two-year college or a credential or certification, education is going to cost. And for families that are struggling, when you look at 51% of the families across the state of Louisiana cannot afford the basic necessities of transportation, housing, food, and insurance and childcare, it's going to be very difficult for them to buy uniforms and make those investments. And so we absolutely have to work with the nonprofit sector and the faith-based community to make grants and resources available. You know, that's one of the challenges with having things like a uniform policy or computer requirements is we haven't made broadband affordable for everyone. And so even if you gave everyone a computer in a public school, that's not a guarantee that they will have access to Wi-Fi and broadband to be able to get on the laptop and do their work. So we absolutely have to work on doing those things. And as governor, I'm committed to fully funding education, which means reducing the cost for individuals as best as possible. It also means ensuring that they have the best and most highly trained and capable faculty to teach them. That will allow young people to learn. Those are commitments that I'm prepared to make as governor and will certainly stand on those principles when I'm elected.
Awesome. We do have a caller. Our code 318, last four digits of that number is 9677. Call and bring you in live now. Our code 3189, your last four digits are 9677. Hello, caller, you're now live.
Hello, my name is Dr. Ella Davis. I would like to know, how receptive would you be to new concepts in education? And I'm asking that because personally I created a new concept in education for students to work at the A-plus level, and I can provide consulting services for this new concept. But I wanted to know, how receptive would your administration be to new concepts in education?
Great question. You know, I am most interested in improved educational outcomes for children. No child should be trapped in a system that's not working, whether it's public, private, parochial, or charter. I want to make sure that that young person can read and learn. And I'm also an activist in terms of believing that teachers know what's in the classroom. And if we've got certified teachers, they understand children better than perhaps we do systematically, meaning the boards, school boards, and BESSE boards, they're big, high-level organizations. They may not know what the specific needs are of children or those challenges. And so as a certified or qualified teacher, you certainly have the opportunity, I believe, to introduce things that are appropriate to be able to teach children. And as long as we are consistent with the standards that are being set and the outcomes can be produced, I am not one to question pedagogy or different approaches to instruction. And if you have that approach, clearly I would say work with the school boards. That is actually something the governor does not have direct authority for. I have the authority when I'm elected to appoint members to BESSE, and I will make sure that we have individuals who are from various backgrounds, whether they're elementary or early childhood education backgrounds, whether they're folks who are in the corporate side that understand the importance of being able to teach different types of skills to children, or folks from the corporate side that might be interested in making sure we're making the right kinds of investments. We're going to have a diverse representation. And the way the system works, as you know, as an educator, that the school system, the BSEE system, will set some high-level standards, and then the school boards are going to accept those. And so as a governor, I will use my influence to support innovative instruction and application of knowledge in ways that make sense for our children to have better educational outcomes.
Thank you. I will definitely be in contact with you should you win.
Well, I will tell you, if you vote for me and help get that done, I will absolutely win. And I will tell your listeners, you can reach me at wilsonforla.com. That's WILSONFORLA.com. That's the best place to learn about my policies. But you can also sign up to volunteer. You can sign up to donate. You can sign up to be a canvasser and connect with other people that are supporting my campaign.
Okay.
We are building a tremendous team with lots of enthusiasm. And more importantly, that's a good way to stay connected, because when we do win, we will need others to come into the game, get into the theater, and actually work and help improve the conditions across the state of Louisiana.
All right, listener. I hope that you got your answer to your question. We do have another caller, and our time is running out. I don't want to rush that caller, but our code 504, last four digits of that number, 6041. 504, last four digits, 6041. Hello, caller, you're now live. Our code 504, last four digits of that number is 6041. You are live, caller. Do you have a question or any concerns at this time? All right, a caller had indicated they had something to say, and we do have another caller. We'll come back to that caller. The next caller will be our code 678. The last four digits of that number is 8580. Our code 678-8580. Hello, caller, you're not live.
Hello, this is Pastor Charles Martin. I am an educator. I teach social studies. And so my question for you is that as a teacher, we look at our kids, especially here in New Orleans, and when we take these standardized tests, the standardized tests is not sufficient, in my opinion, as far as kids taking it, because it does not cover the information that we're actually teaching, or gives it to them in a different form. And so is there any way that you can see that we can it will benefit the kids, to set those tests up to benefit the kids?
Well, great question. You know, a lot of what we've done in the state is designed education to teach the test, and we should get beyond teaching the test and teach the child, and that will allow us to best educate children, to meet them where they are, and not necessarily have them try to rise to a level of some standard that might not be achievable. And I think that's where the instruction of our children and our school boards, as well as our BSEE board, has to be more thoughtful in terms of what those expectations are for our young people, as well as our systems who are obligated to do what's in the best interest of educating our children. And if we don't do that, we will continue to keep people in a quagmire. And as governor, I will work to establish policies and put real commitments in place. And one case in point is, you know, we just passed a law that says you have to read on grade level at the third grade, or there's going to be a mandatory retention, and we'll then provide remediation. The legislature passed that bill but did not budget anything for remediation, nor do we have an appreciation of how many people are going to be held back and how we're going to respond to that when that occurs. One of the first things I will do as governor is find resources to be able to invest in young people who are struggling in the kindergarten, first grade, or second grade, and not wait until the third grade to expect them to have 3 years of cumulative rehabilitation that we know is going to be much more challenging. And when that happens, I think we'll be in a much better place to have confidence that there's accountability in our system as well as instructional support.
Caller.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. Okay, callers, we do have a lot of more people that have concerns or questions, but we're sorry, we're at the end of the show. He will be coming back, our callers, and I will be sending out reminders. If you have any questions or comments or want to share your thoughts on in reference to our candidate for governor, and our prayers are with him. And listen, we need your support. We need your votes. And if you're not a registered voter, go out and help encourage those that are registered voters, your neighbor, your family. Make sure they get out and cast their vote. And we need their vote. We need you to vote for Mr. Sean Wilson to become our next Louisiana governor. You heard his concerns. You heard his visions. He shared everything that all the questions that was asked, and I am supporting him 100%. I'm asking all Democrats to get out and cast your vote. We cannot win unless you cast your vote, and I'm confident that we all want to get out there and do the best we can to get Mr. Wilson elected. I want to thank you, Mr. Wilson, our next upcoming governor. And I am praying for you, and I know you're going to be a great, 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 great governor. You're a great candidate that's running now, and our prayers are with you. And I pray that God will continue to pour out fresh anointing on your life to give you great visions and knowledge and, above all, understanding how to lead the people here in the state of Louisiana. Unfortunately, this is the end of our show, but Mr. Wilson, I'm going to give you 2 minutes for a closing statement. So I would listen. So many people have questions. And the next time you come on, we're going to give you more time. But now we need your closing statement.
Well, listen, thank you so very much for the opportunity to speak to your listeners. I am Sean Wilson, number 16 on the ballot. Early voting starts tomorrow. You have to vote like your life and your society and your quality of life depends on it, because it absolutely does. We will wake up the day after election if you don't go vote and wonder what happened if we missed this opportunity to change the history of Louisiana and the face of our state in terms of what we want to do. There are some candidates out there that are not going to do well for Louisiana or the people that make this great state. So I would encourage you to do all that you can to get out, go vote early, be committed, and bring others with you. It's important that you text folks, that you call folks, visit us online, engage in our campaign, be a part of a team and a part of a solution that's going to do good for the state of Louisiana. So God bless you. Thank you for the opportunity to visit with you and look forward to visiting again.
All right. And listeners, you can go to Facebook on Facing Your Fears. This show will be on Facebook and other websites that you can go and you can hear it. And if your friends, neighbors, and family was not able to tune in on today, they can hear this episode there on Facebook, Facing Your Fears. God bless you and God keep you. This is the end of the show for today. Goodbye, Mr. Wilson, and my prayers are with you. A great, awesome job.
All right. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.